But I realize when I am asking them to define the words that they use, I am no longer relevant in their class when they are faster than me. And I don't even know what they're talking about. I have to say, is that a good word or a bad word? And so, anyways, Job chapter 1. Tonight's message, we'll look at it a little bit. Job chapter 1 and verse 1, we're going to read the first 5 verses. Probably, I would say the first maybe 2 or 3 chapters, and then the last 2 or 3 chapters are probably the most familiar of Job. Maybe a little bit easier in understanding and our reading. We'll take a look at the first 5 verses. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And so it was, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of all of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And God, I pray that we can make application. I feel like there's certainly a need here tonight. Lord, where else could we go but to you? And Lord, I pray that you would lead and guide and direct in this service here tonight. I pray that when we walk out of here, we have hope, we have encouragement, we have strength. God, Lord, just look to you for help. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Job, obviously, the story is pretty self-explanatory. He's got 7 sons. He has 7 sons and 3 daughters. And every day they have dinner at one of the different sons, and the 3 daughters come. Kind of an interesting connection. Reminds us that brothers need to take care of their sisters. That's a good thing, right? We teach our boys to watch out for their sisters. If girls get hurt at their hand, it's the boys' fault. No matter what happened, you need to watch out for them. We treat them as best as we can like princesses, because we want our daughters to act like princesses. That's what we like. And girls to act girly, and boys to act knightly, right? All right, so very good. There's that. That is nothing with our message. But I want you to look at verse 5. And so it was, when the days were feasting, of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts," to Job continually. We see this connection between Job and his children. I don't know how close they lived or how that all happened. I don't know if Job had the big house in the middle and 7 houses around it. I'm not sure how it laid out. I'm not sure if Job lived on one side of the town and Job's sons lived on the other side. I'm not sure if they were all scattered about the east, and however it worked. But somehow the Lord placed upon Job's heart to make intervention for his children. And Job went on the behalf of his children, not because his children called him up and said, "Dad, I need prayer. Dad, I need an offering. Dad, I need this. Dad, I need you to go to God on my behalf." Not at all. But Job just thought in his heart, he said, just in case something isn't right, I don't know, maybe one's wandering, maybe one has doubts about the things of God, maybe one is even questioning the very existence of God, I'm going to go on their behalf and plead with God on their behalf that they do right. And that's what he did. Job prayed on behalf of his children. Job ate offerings on behalf of his children. If we look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, This week is a little different at our house. You know, I have five children. Our oldest is 14. Youngest is, how old is Hudson? I think he's 7. And but we have invited 4 more children into our house, which, I don't know. They're here tonight. They're cute. You'll see them. They're the 4 little redheaded kids just running around. They're cute. And they're running around. And we kind of, and I was laying in bed last night, and I was thinking, huh, you know, this was cool a couple days, but now it's just busy. 9 kids and the house is just full. It's actually going significantly better than I ever expected, honestly. But apart from that, there are 5 children that I am directly responsible for. And sometimes it's easy to get frustrated with them. Sometimes personalities collide a little bit. But at the end of the day, 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 27 is true in our home. I don't know about your home, but in our home, 1 Samuel 1, 27. Did I miss that? 1 Samuel 1, 27. For this child I prayed. The 5 children I have in my house, I asked God for. And I got what I asked for. So as those children are my responsibility, I look at what Job did for his children and I think, well, what do I do for mine? Do I go on their behalf to the Lord? If we look at Luke chapter 18, children are an incredible gift. But sometimes we don't see it like that. Lord, forgive us if we ever get bothered by them. Because we asked for them. In our home we did. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Job went on the behalf of his children, made burnt offerings, and interceded on their behalf to God. Not because the children asked for it. The 7 kids didn't come to 7 boys didn't come to dad. 3 daughters didn't come to dad and say, "Dad, I need you to get a hold of God. You're a man that walks with God. I need to know what's going on in my life." No, he looked at his children and he thought for a second, "I wonder if they're walking with the Lord. I wonder if they have any doubts. I wonder if they're questioning their faith or if God even exists. You know what I'm going to do? Just in case they might have cursed God, I'm going to make an offering for them." And we remember 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 27, where the children that are in our home, we specifically ask God for. And then I come to Luke 18:1. That men ought always to pray. I want to encourage you tonight to pray for your children. To not quit, not to give up, to not faint, as the scripture says. We can always come up with the reasons why these circumstances don't apply to us. Maybe your home was kind of like my home growing up. My parents got divorced when I was young. Found that all of a sudden I had a stepdad and a stepmom. Some step parents treat you like their own, and some don't. That's just how it is. You might be the step parent. I didn't ask for this. Those aren't my... Be careful. They are your responsibility. And don't quit. Be faithful. You know, I don't know why the Lord uses children to get us right with the Lord, but He does. And He has a way of, if we're kind of wandering in our faith, all of a sudden He twists a little bit in the children's lives, and all of a sudden, there I am on my knees again, where I ought to be. And the Lord sometimes uses our children to get our attention and to get us praying like we should. Hey, I want to encourage you tonight, no matter your circumstance, even if you feel like, hey, this doesn't apply, or this isn't mine, or I didn't ask for this. Yeah, but you have a circumstance. Say it's hopeless. It's not hopeless. My kids are older. They moved out. It doesn't tell us the age of Job's children. They were adults. They were having each other over for dinner. Grown-ups having their own homes. Yeah, Job still... It's not like this was a 5-year-old child or a 13-year-old. Oh, that teenager, he's gonna have a rebellious heart. I'm going to pray for him. No, these were adults. So let's be careful that we not get in our mind, oh, this... I no longer have influence on my children. I have a few things that we could pray for. Psalm 139. Tonight's message is that we ought to pray for our children. Psalm 139. Now, for the most part, the people that are in this room maybe have children or have had children. I understand the crowd. If you've not had that, maybe you could pray for somebody else's. If you say, really, I don't know what to do with this message, you could just pray for me then, for my kids. Psalm 139 and verse 14. I'm going to try and take these verses, not manipulate them in any way, but just present them in a way that would be an encouragement to you tonight. Psalm 139 and verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. There's no two children that are the same. I remember as my boys were growing up how different Sam is from Joe. Not one better than the other, just different. Then we had Hudson. And I thought, hey, I wonder what he's going to be like. Is he going to be like Sam or Joe? Neither. And I look around, and then I started working in the, you know, we're working in the school. I didn't realize there were so many molds for kids. Because they're wonderfully made. So it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, we have a little baby living in our house again. 15 months old. She doesn't talk. She walks a little bit. And just is about as cute as anything. And she'll fall asleep when you hold her. Oh, man. If you can get her away from the one that's holding her. She'll just cuddle. She just likes to be held, and she's quiet. She just sits there and just warms you. And is just, it's everything you would want. And we look at that and go, oh, how thankful, how wonderful. How about the one that doesn't sit still? I'm going to praise the Lord for that one too. Put a ball in his hand. Send him on his way. But I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. As I look at those little precious children, as I look at my precious children, I need to be more faithful and being thankful to God for them. I will praise thee. Why? Because he's and she's fearfully and wonderfully made. She's unique. I have, again, 5 kids, and some of them I would categorize and or describe? Well, I can think of a couple that I would say unique. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, we look at our kids and I remember Pastor Kopaczewski used to say, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, counting up the toes, right? He used to say that when they would come out. Oh, good. And say there were 8. Okay. God designed it that way. I don't want to be rude or mean or in anything like this, but say they're as dumb as a box of rocks. All right. We'll take it. God's got a plan for that one. I know that's frustrating come school setting. I know that's frustrating come report card day. And I know, but man, what has God got planned? I have no idea. Sometimes I look at some of the kids that come through our school and I go, God's got something special for this one. Because they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if we saw children. I wonder if we look at our children like that. Thankful. Recognizing that they are God's perfect handiwork. Philippians chapter 1. It's a tough reminder sometimes. It's tough because, well, because we have, as adults, have it all together and understand everything and are so well complete in the Lord. Yeah, right. But we look at Philippians 1:6 and being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Reminding ourselves that our children are a work in progress, that they're not finished material. To be careful and pray that we not get frustrated with the process. Number one, to be thankful. Number two, to pray that we not get frustrated. And remember that God is doing something. Adults, I want to talk to you just for a second. Do you remember what you were like as a teenager? Do you remember the things that you said and where you went? My daughter, she got a 70 on her English test. I'm not sure we can work with this anymore. Man, are you kidding? Let's be careful that we remember that our children are works in progress. And to not be so frustrated. To be gracious. Not that we lower our standards, but we remember that sometimes it takes time to grow up. And they're just little kids. Let's pray that we not get frustrated. Let's pray Third John, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. Point number 3, we pray that our children walk in truth. Could you pray that way? Could you pray for your kids that they'd walk in truth? Sam's in here tonight, but he's getting to the age where he's got to start making some decisions about what's next. He's got a few years left of high school, and he's doing well. And you can turn around, I'll talk about you too. Looking at his brother. But I don't want to say I don't care what he's going to do. Of course I do, but the greatest burden on my heart is to know that he walks in truth. they stay faithful to the Lord. Not that he's a pastor, not that he's a missionary, not that, but that he does what God wants him to do. I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. So we pray that they find the truth, that they see the truth, that they desire the truth. I've told you I've been with the young adults since 2002. That's a tricky age. And that young adults, they're no longer told where to be and what time to be. They have freedom and liberty and a car and maybe a little money and some friends. And they'll say things like, I'm going to go out and find, I'm not sure about all this, I'm going to go look. Understand that if they're truly looking for the truth, they will come to the Word of God. Now we just pray that the process is as quick as possible. Be faithful in praying and faint not. Don't quit. Pray that your children walk in truth. Isaiah chapter 54. I want to try and finish these up so we can just spend some time maybe praying for our kids tonight. Isaiah 54 and verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Maybe you spend some time in praying that they would live such a life that they'd have peace with God. When you're not right with the Lord, there's one thing that you will not have, and that's peace. And you can pretend, and you can, but when you're on the outs with the Lord, there's no peace. Because of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Peace. So for my child to have, at the end of the day, as he pillows his head or her head at night, to have peace, that means she's, or he is walking right. So we pray for peace, because peace is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit of God working in their life. And if they're not doing right, may they have sleepless nights and unrest until they get right. Wouldn't it be good for our children to know, not that their parents were perfect, but they regularly pleaded with God on their behalf? I want my kids to know that. Got to hear Johnny Pope a little while ago, and he was raised in a preacher's house. He was the son of a preacher. And his mama would pray for him. And Saturday night, she would lay out a nice pair of shoes on his bed. And she would just pray. And he wasn't right with the Lord at the time. And he finally got right. And she knew, and she was all excited. She's like, "Do you ever wonder about those shoes?" He's like, "Yeah. Why were those shoes always on my bed?" She's like, "Because I was praying that you'd take them and go to church the next Sunday." He's like, "I thought that's what you were doing." He's like, I was sunk. He goes, "I had a praying mama." And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Pray that they have peace. Last one, Psalm 90 and verse 17. Psalm 90:17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Could we pray that God would bless the work of their hands? I don't know what Job prayed on the behalf of his children. We saw a little bit that if they were not right with God, but could we pray for our kids that they would find work and find service to the Lord, that when they touch it and then they get involved in it, that they would do it right and that it would please the Lord? I want my children to know that God is for real. And I want them to go, and I want them to go out, and I want them to take a step off the platform and say, all right, I'm taking a step of faith. You got to catch me. And I want them to see that God caught them. Our faith, my faith is very well established in that I have proven the Lord multiple times in my life. And he's been solid every single step of the way. But that's good for me. And that'll help them for a little while. But pretty soon they're going to have to start taking some steps. And I want them to see their work. I want them to try things out. And I want them to pray about something and say, God, I think, come to me and say, Dad, I think God is leading me to go do this, but I don't know. What do you think? Let's pray together. And then they take a step of faith and the Lord is there and their faith is established and solid and they walk away with confidence in God because God blessed his work. That's the prayer for my children. Tonight, I would like to take some time and pray for our children. Just pray for our own kids. Say, I don't have kids. Well, get with someone that does and pray for them. You know, we have some young couples and no kids yet. Right? Okay, good. But someday, if the Lord will, you write these things down. It's important. We'll just be honest for a minute. Not everybody that walked through this room had it all together tonight. I dare say most of us don't. And we could use some prayer. Talk to a lot of families that feel, and probably truthfully so, that their life is in crisis and they don't know what to do. Children, marriage. And they think they're the only one like that. And not to betray anybody's confidence or trust in the things that they've talked to me about in private, but you're not the only one like that. In this room, you're not the only one like that. Maybe if we could be a little faithful in this and praying for our children, we could help. So let's take a few minutes, maybe 10 or so. And we'll pray, and then we'll sing another song at the end. But those little people that are running around your house, can I remind you that they're your responsibility and you asked for them? So let's do everything we can to invoke the power of God upon their life. Let's take a few moments and we can break up into small groups and pray together. If we could shoot to be done maybe in... How do you limit prayer time for our own children? But maybe 5 or 10 minutes, all right? With that one thought of praying for our kids. All right?